Hey, let me say something to you all. You all have got some folks in this church that are a blessing. Let me tell you who they are first and foremost. Your pastor and his wife are a blessing. They got a servant's heart. Let me just say this. I know how things work. I was on the phone today with a man. Church don't always go the way we want it to, and church don't always do what we want it to do. Amen. Hello, you know why? Because you're here. People. Am I on back there? Amen. People. And had a conversation with a man in Tennessee. There's struggles in the church. There's not but one answer, and that's the Bible. As we come this week, the first of the week, I shared with you about obedience. Yesterday, I shared with you that when the church is doing what it needs to be doing, God will work through us to see the miracles of God happen in our life. The problem is, how do we get to that point? How do we understand that point? Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. I just want to tell you something in the mix of this that just lights my fire. I'm not going to lie to you about it. About 20 years ago, 22 years ago, something like that, the Lord gave me privilege to take part in something. We've seen, because of that, you'll have to forgive me, we've seen almost 20,000 people come to know Christ as Savior. If you'd have asked me, listen to me, back then, how would we be doing the ministry we're doing? Would we be here tonight in Missouri? I'd tell you, you're crazy. Amen or oh me. First and foremost, we got to get uncomfortable. See, preacher had to go find his mama because she normally sits over here. Amen.
I lost her.
And here's the thing. The reason church gets stale, life gets stale, and the world's no fun is because we have planted ourselves hoping that God would come show up where we're at rather than figuring out what He's doing. Now, in the mix of this, here's what I want you to understand and grab a hold of. I may do a little writing over here just for your benefit, but at this time, here's what I want you to know. You might want a pencil. You might want to take something down. Just underline a few things. Just not because I'm a good theologian. I just want to tell you some stuff that I believe bless your heart, and if we'll respond and we take action. Remember yesterday evening, I told you that Jesus did and He taught. We keep doing all the teaching, but we forget to start doing the doing. And there's many of us in here, listen to me, this is not going to sound right. Some of us need to start do-doing. You need to start doing the do. I've not met a church yet that most of us don't know the basic simple principles of the Scripture that Jesus came into the world. Why did He come? Because the reality is God created the planet. Listen to me, nobody miss this because it's the basics, and the basics are a blessing because I want you to understand, I believe there's multitudes around us tonight. They have forgotten the reason that they're on the planet. Your blood is pumping through your veins. You were birthed into the planet through your mama by the seed of your father in relation to a circumstance that happened long ago. But the end result of that is all throughout humanity from the beginning of the world spinning until He comes back, the reason you're on the planet, sir, ma'am, is because God, holy God, in the heavens who created us, gave us life and breath, wants, desires, and loves to have a relationship with us. The reason we don't have that relationship is our stinking father, Adam. He sinned, therefore we're sinners. The problem with that is until we recognize our sinful state and recognize He's not sinful, and we want Him into our life, we're going to die in our sinful state. But it's not because God doesn't want a relationship with us. He desires and standing ready for all of us to be saved. He desires and standing ready for us to come to a saving knowledge of what He's already done 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary, because our sin was there in the world. And the deal is this. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. The whole book is written to give us a picture that you and I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. God begins to walk through the process. He tells them, I'm going to take care of that in Genesis 3:15 with the process that will happen. He moves on into that and begins to do some things, to present some things. and he gives them liberty in it. They killed the animal so that they could be in fellowship with him. They begat. Amen or oh me. What happened was, anytime there are people on the planet, even though we know the answer, listen, it's our hearts bent to turn back towards what we want rather than what he wants. So in the mix of it, God brings along some stuff. The reality is, he says, I can't stand it anymore and I got to show them. He brings Noah's Ark on the planet. He gives them command. Judgment is coming. Listen to me. I want you to hear me say this. Judgment's coming. Our pulpits are void of people telling us because of our sin, and it doesn't have to be a particular sin, judgment's coming. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the mix of that, he tells them, go and tell them. You know how you get saved? You hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You respond to the word in obedience to the word, not to somebody who shared it. Because of that, they said, oh, Noah stood and preached and preached and preached and preached and told them, repent, which means this. Hey, boys, turn around. There's God. Hey, boys, turn around. There's God. Nope, going to do it my way. Okay, it's going to rain. God said judgment's coming. Get ready. He's prepared a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. God calls him later when he builds the tabernacle, the gate. There ain't but one door on the boat. Only one way in. Jesus Christ. So, Noah's bunch gets in the boat. He told them beforehand, listen to me, you might want to look this up. He said, build this boat with gopher wood. Did you know there had to be wood involved in that thing? Jesus had to be nailed to a cross. The only way to die was on the cross. In the mix of it, listen to me though. He said, you smear that thing with tar and pitch. You lather it plumb up because judgment's coming. And those on the inside will be free from the judgment. We are in Christ. Amen. You get in the boat, the judgment's coming. Whether we like it or not, you cannot stop the judgment of God on the sin of the world. It's coming. Ma'am, sir, friend, judgment's coming. Not because He wants to be mean to us, but because He has to be righteous in what He said about what He will receive, and He cannot, a holy God, receive our sin. So, He made a way. The water comes down, the boat goes up, those in the boat are saved. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, go and propagate this place some more. They begat. Amen. All them birds was out there. Guess what they started doing? They started thinking and doing their own thing again. Here's the reality. God's still got a plan. So they say, hey, we're going to get to God our way. Let me say something to you, sir, man. You can't get to God your way. They said, we're going to build a tower. Hello? We're going to build this tower, and we're going to work our way to heaven. We're going to get up there, and we're going to be somebody because we can get to God on our own. God said, no, you can't. So he looked at the people, throwed confusion all over them, spread them out all over the world, and knocked the tower down. Hello? And at that moment, at that time, at that place, there's folk all over the world that began to speak a different language, that began to deal with life differently, and their skin pigments colored differently because of the area that they were sent to. Nothing more, nothing less. In the mix of that, he begins to prepare a way for people's salvation. Before the beginning of time, God knew that we would be knuckleheads. But in relation to that, he said that he wanted to have a plan, and he gave his son, his firstborn, the option of taking care of that penalty. If it had not been God's option, Jesus, to do that, when he got on the planet and it came time to die, he wouldn't have said, God, if there be another way, let's do it. But if not, I'm in. I want to be obedient. So they nailed him to a rugged cross. How did we get to that point? Because God's got a pattern in life that blesses the socks off everybody else. Remember, God wants a relationship with people. If you're in Exodus chapter 3, read with me. I'm bless y'all's hearts. I'm going to put my glasses on tonight. Amen. It says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see the great sight while the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am God thy Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now in the mix of this, they continued on, and God began to build a group of people, the Israelites, His people, to bring into the world the answer for the world, God's people. That never changes. In the mix of that, they're kind of rebellious. Do y'all see the pattern here? Even when we know the answer, we're still rebellious. Are y'all tracking with me? Aren't you glad that even though we're rebellious knuckleheads, God still wants to use us because we're in relationship with Him? Amen. Hello? Amen. Listen, I'm liable to get excited tonight because there ain't a person in the building that deserves to be a part of anything He's doing, but God wants us to be a part of what He's doing. If you don't get that in your heart, then you're going to be, first of all, a lazy Christian. Number two, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. And number three, you're probably not going to make surety out of what's going on because you'll never experience His power and presence in such a fashion that allows you to be encouraged on a regular basis to know that my God is real. The reason I didn't say our God is real is because I'm not sure He's real to you yet. That's the reason we're doing this tonight. And so in the mix of it, they get all bunged up and hung up. Guess what? They get in slavery and bondage. God didn't put you through anything. God has allowed you to be in stuff that looks like slavery and bondage because of the sin that's in the world. There's a herd of people in your life, in my life. They're struggling with stuff, even saved folks. Israelites were God's people. Amen. The reason they're struggling is because of disobedience. It's pretty simple, and I'm repeating this week, and I don't know why. I wish somebody get it so I can move on. Amen. And so, God gives Pharaoh the liberty to have charge over him. He allowed Satan to have rule on the earth. He gives liberty. God could take away whatever He wants to right now. But He's given liberty for that to happen because without some of the things happening in our life, we never would appreciate the relationship that we have with God. Did y'all catch that? Some of us are like, man, this ain't fair. I didn't say it's fair. I just said it's the truth. So in the mix of it, he works out a plan, brings old Abe in, Abe walks through it, they've been in this process, and now he wants to take Moses and take care of the problem to lead us to the point where we can have Jesus on the planet for you and I to experience His salvation. And salvation is not in a moment in the church, an event that happens, a celebrating situation. It is the beginning of a love relationship with a holy God who created us. Man, that's good! Religion is an event. Religion will upset you. Religion will frustrate you. Religion will leave you empty. Relationship is eternal. So here's the deal. God's always at work, and He's at work in this process. In the beginning, listen to me, from the beginning of the book to the end, God's at work. Now why? Because here's the deal. Here's God, okay? And He's doing His thing, and He's always at work, and He wants relationship, and He wants us to experience Him. Now that's not very good because this thing is wobbly. Okay? So, how does all that transpire? I want you to see what's going on in this passage of Scripture. He gives an invitation to Moses. I'm repeating something. Your pastor said something. I was here in revival. We talked. God does work, and I want to connect the dots for life, because sometimes we forget how God works sometimes, and then we know how He works, and we don't get involved in what He's doing. And here's what I know. I've been to lots and lots of churches and been around lots and lots of saved folks, and I'm just going to throw this out here. If I was to do a survey in here tonight, many of us in this building who are saved would say, yes, I believe God speaks. Or maybe not. Maybe just me and Brother Bill. And I know God, listen to me, if you're saved, here's what I know. You know God speaks to you. But we put ourselves in a position and in a stance to say, I'm not too sure He speaks to him. I'm not too sure He speaks to the other church. I'm not too sure about how God does that. Amen or oh me. Does that make sense? And so there are things happening around us all the time. And all of a sudden, Moses out here on the backside of the desert doing his thing, and God shows up. Can I tell you that that's what revival looks like? God shows up. Let me say that again. God shows up. God's in the mix. And God does some weird junk. I mean, how many of you would be a little bit freaked out? I'm walking through the desert, graveling my shoes. I got a bunch of these sheep running around here going crazy. I'm minding my own business. I've got in a routine. I got my job to do. I go to church on the regular. Things are pretty cool. I'm okay with just nothing else happening. But the reality is, bam, there's God. Boom. And the bush ain't burning up, by the way. The bush didn't burn up. Did anybody see that but me? The bush didn't burn up. But here's what I found in America church. We ain't seen very many bushes burning lately. It ain't because they ain't on fire. Notice this bush wasn't consumed. Hello? So the bush is over there burning, waiting on somebody to see it. The bush was already burning. Hello? And he's waiting on, and so when he catches it, he has just a moment. He said, I'm going to turn to the side because I ain't too sure about this. Plus, they told me if I was holding, and he's holding, and I really look at this, and I think it's God, then this could be a little encounter here. And God says, you're right. Kick your shoes off, boy. This holy ground. The reason we don't experience the power and presence of God in this place or any other church is because we've forgotten that when God's presence, Him doing, and the bush is burning, that it's holy ground. Holy ground. A place where nobody else gets to go, and a place where nothing. It's a holy opportunity to be engaged with that dude that wanted the relationship with us, whose name is God, and he wants a relationship in such a fashion that is personal enough to allow himself to be in our mix so that we can look at him and realize, man, that's. But we come and we sing. We come and we preach. Woo-hoo-hoo! We come and we settle in, tending our sheep and doing our thing, and God shows up and the bush is burning, but we ain't going to look at it. I don't want to respond to that. Listen to me. I'm a little bit afraid. Gives him some instruction. In that instruction in verse 2, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. What did I say the whole goal for God was? A relationship with us. In the mix of that, he says in verse 9, now there behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. This church has been praying for revival, and we're wanting, listen to me, we're wanting to experience God, but the reality is the bush may be burning, amen or oh me, but do we really want to look at the fire? Do we really want to recognize that situation? Because here's the deal. Verse 10 says this, come now therefore. This is God talking to Moses. This is God talking to Jeff, Brother Harold, Brother Bill, Susie and George and Fred and Sam and Alice and whoever you are here. He's talking and he says, come now. Notice I said the other night that obedience is immediate obedience. Not delayed obedience. Not partial obedience. Let me ask you a question. Can I partially come over here to Brother Bill? Can I do it half? You follow what I'm saying? God says, come here, I want to show you something. I want you to do something. And we say, well, I'll do part of it. God's over here. And I'm telling him, no, I'll do part of it. So God, what that means is I'm going to turn this way and I'm going to skirt around and do what I want to do. And I've acknowledged the fact that you told me. So now not only did I not be obedient, I've been disobedient. And then we want God to respond to us over here in the mess, in the place, in the desert with our stinking sheep that it ain't working out right. And God's over there doing His thing because He wants to redeem all of us. Some of us in this building, listen to me. You need to respond now. You may not have another day. God may allow, listen, you may not like this theology, but it's true. God may allow somebody else to walk up to the bush instead of you and you not experience what God wants to get done. Now, therefore, I will send thee, God's got a plan for you, unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring us forth my people. It's not about you, it's about them. He's giving them an invitation. What He's asking you to do, listen to me, quit being selfish, church. It's not about you. It's not about me. I'm going to say this and sound a little selfish in the process, but I want you to understand what I'm getting at. If it was about what I want when it's time to do the preaching, when God told me, I wouldn't be here, I'd be at home with my wife because she's pretty. There's some sacrifice in the process because the reality is the invitation means you're going to be obedient to God no matter what the cost is in it. First of all, can you imagine old Mose? They're probably going to think he's a nut. You did what? You talked to a bush? Hello? Hello? And the reason people don't believe us anymore is because we're not having those kind of experiences where it doesn't really make sense, but we're doing it anyway, and the end result is God does what He does. So He gives the invitation, He gives the command, He gives the opportunity. He didn't make him go. He gave him liberty to go. Verse 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children? Who am I? God has spoken in this, and the reality is this. God is the one who gave him that invitation, and listen, there's always doubt in us. You can be, I promise you, Billy Graham has doubt. I promise you, John the Baptist came into the world going, repent! He's at hand, get ready, boys! And then in the mix of it, when they're about to cut his head off, he says, dude, am I supposed to go look for another? Because this ain't working out right. Hello? Even though he had experienced it, rubbed up against him, and he was saved. Are y'all tracking with what I'm saying? He still had to stop and scratch his head and go, I just need a little refreshing here because they figured to clip my head off. Listen to me, church. It's natural. But if we understand the natural part of it and what's going on, we can figure out how to deal with what's going on so we can experience what God's doing. The invitation is there because He spoke. And here's what's going on this. This is called the experiencing God mode. Here's what's going on. He's in the mix of a crisis of belief. God, you want me to do what? God, you want me to teach Sunday school? Really, God? I don't have a clue. Moses over here going, Pharaoh, cut my head off. Things can happen. This might not work out real good. I got all these things, and you want me to lead, 650,000 men, 8 million people? You want me to deal with? Dude, I'm having trouble hanging on to the sheep right now. I can't handle the household at the moment. God, you want me to do something else? God, you want me to deal with something big? God gives the invitation, and here's the practical part of life. There's always a crisis of belief in it. If not, then we're robots. Yes, Lord. Y'all ever watch that? I don't remember what the name of the show was, but that little robot run around on TV in the 70s. Yes, Lord. That's not how God created us. Now watch what happens. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our father has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. He's getting in the mode. He's had this look at me. He's had this little conflict. Here's what I know about God and how church works and the preaching and all the rest of it. We come into this place and God speaks to us. Hey, bud, you got sin in your heart. Hey, bud, you got unforgiveness in your life. Hey, sir, you know, I put these things in front of you, and you look at me, you're stirring up here and you're stirring right here, and it lines up with somebody that prayed. It lines up with somebody that you ran into. Can I say something? There are folks wanting to see people saved and children be, and God's already at work in some stuff around here, whether anybody wants to recognize it or not. The reality is you get to the point where God's saying some things, and it's evident in Moses' life. Not all this is real clear. He just knows that God did speak to him, and now I got to do something. So he's saying, okay, God, if that be the case, I'm fixing to put myself in motion. So when I get there and these birds ask me, what do you want me to do then? He said, just tell them I am sent you. He said, just so once you get to that point, there's got to be something that happens. You got to. He had to leave the desert. He had to herd the sheep up. He had to change positions. He had to quit doing what he'd been doing, doing what God wanted him to do. He had to change economics. He had to change authority. He had to just adjust to what God said. That means, could it be that we don't have church at 11 o'clock on Sunday? God forbid! What I'm saying is nuts, but the reality is that's the reason we don't experience the power and presence of God. Go to chapter 4. They go through this and they move forward. And in chapter 4 says, And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. So God wants to use the stuff that you already got. Don't think you necessarily got to go do something fabtabulous and miraculous different than what you've already been equipped with. Moses out here hanging on with some sheep, and he's got this wrong rod in his hand because that's what he knows how to use. Hello? So whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you're doing, God wants to use something in that for His honor and glory. And He says, that rod you got there. What we do is we freak everybody out and scare everybody off from doing what God wants them to do in the church, doing what it needs to do, because we think we've got to have some kind of super-duper situation that happens that benefits folks to say, okay, now you're ready. Ma'am, sir, listen to me. You got everything you need from God earlier. And when you got it, not only that, He's allowed you to experience things that you've been involved in that He wants to use in the future right now. He wants to take your past, deal with people's future right now, so they're... Hello? Stay with me. Listen what it says. Okay, Mose. Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. I'm with Moses. Because he said, Pew! I'm out. I don't care if it's a green snake. I don't care if it's a plastic snake. I'd have been, we're out. I'm done. It says he fled out of the way. And the Lord said unto Moses, can I tell you what that means? What God's doing in your life sometimes can be a little unsettling. Can be a little scary. Hello? Dude, there's a snake. It's not. Look at me. It's not supposed to be comfortable. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by thy tail. How many of you, look at me. How many of you, God's told you to do something and you started in? Listen to me. You started in and it got uncomfortable and God was giving you more instruction. You said, nope. You headed that way. Church, you had a plan and you started heading that way, church. I'm talking about to the whole church. Listen to me. And I don't care what church you came from. You started heading that way, but you said, whoop, wait a minute. This might get out of hand. And you decided not to listen to what God wanted you to do next. Individually, I promise you, from week to week, every week it happens. Because Satan is good. But old Moses was obedient, and it says, and he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they, listen, underline it. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hath appeared unto thee. The reason He wants you, listen to me, to obey that situation, do what He's asking, get uncomfortable, be in a circumstance that causes us to adjust our life to what He's doing. It ain't for us. He said, so that they will believe that I'm God. And listen to what it says. And that you, Brother Bill, that I have experienced His power and presence in my life. Do you know how many people out in the world need to know that there are people on the planet that have a relationship with God in such a fashion that we know that we know that we know that we've had... It was no doubt in Moses' mind because of what was going on that he had just had a face-to-face confrontation that blessed his socks off that was a little bit scary that he had been with God. Can I just say this? If you've not had that kind of encounter with God in your salvation, you need to stop and think for a minute. Not to make you doubt. To go back to what I said a minute ago. Look at me. God wants a relationship with you. And on a regular, what the church needs to stop and do is express. Moses is telling us how this transpired. He's having a time with the people. He's talking to the people. Hey, I was on the hill. The bush is burning. I kicked my shoes off. You should have seen it, man. It was a snake. It was about that long. And I reached down like this, and it's right there. And here I am, and let's go, because we're out of here. Woo! We're out of here. Come on. Come on. We're gone. And here's the deal. What have you told people God's done lately? First Chronicles 16. It'll change your worship. It will identify who He is, and it will help people understand what He's doing. Listen to what it says. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Can I tell you what that's like? From personal experience. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, I love the fact that when I was 8 or 9 years old, I got saved. Because I knelt down beside my bed because of what my grandfather said because what was going on, because the people in the church were speaking to my heart, because in the Bible school, they were sharing stuff, even when we was drinking Kool-Aid and eating cookies, when we was making popsicle crazy things, and doing the games outside, they were telling me about Jesus, and on the inside, I was encountering something that was holy, that made me unsettled in my life, and I knelt down before the bed, understanding that I needed a relationship with Him. I didn't understand it all at age 8. I didn't grasp all I knew was God had been speaking to my heart and head, and it was a little uncomfortable, but I knew it was time to do something with it. And my grandpa said, it's because you're a sinner. Romans chapter 3, because of that sin, the wages of sin is death. You're separated from Him. But He wants a relationship with you. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we'll believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God raised His Son from the dead, He said we'll be saved. So I'm over here. Can I be honest with you? I don't even know what I said. Do y'all think Moses understood everything that's going on, what he said? I'm pretty sure he might have been, you know, that stuttering thing? The stuttering probably happened because he picked up the snake. But I knelt down and I prayed and I said, okay, God, I don't know what I said, but here's what I do know. At that moment, something changed, and I can't get over the fact. I can't get past the situation. I know that my life changed on the inside, and can't nothing smear that out. Can't nothing take it away. And He told me, go tell somebody. And since that moment, He's been telling me. Do y'all know how good that was? I don't know if it spooked your mule and excited you, but every time I go think about it, Brother Bill, it's good. And listen, because I've experienced that, and I know that God spoke to me, I know that when He speaks to me again, there's a point of operation where I need to adjust and obey, and when that happens, I get to experience it even better. Now, 5 years ago or so, just as a repeat for y'all, y'all went through a whole weekend to learn just what I said in about 30 minutes. Brother, whatever your name is over there, Brother John. me and him were reminiscing for a minute there that 53 folks stood up at the evening service and testified that they had come face to face and kicked their shoes off because the Holy God showed up and people began to adjust what they were doing, and but God began to reach in and intervene in people's lives, and the end result was not the church itself or brother. It's God. It's just God. Because He loves us. Can I ask you tonight? We have got to quit rejecting God speaking. There's another passage that I almost preached on tonight where it says that they were a rebellious people and the word of the Lord was rare in that day. It means that God said, if you're not going to line up, I'm just going to quit talking to you. If you ain't going to do what I'm asking you to do, I'm just going to shut her down and go talk to somebody else. And the reality is, that's because He's got a personality that lends towards, He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to experience Him, but He's not going to force you to do anything. It's not going to happen. But the tremendous thing about that is, I can't imagine in my life anymore not knowing that I have the liberty to experience what I experience. Did y'all catch that? So let church, I know we've tried to formulate, we've been preaching, we've been doing, and the reality is God's at work. He's at work. He's at work. He's at work. There are neighbors out here. There are friends out here. There are people in this building. There are folks at your workplace. God is at work, and He wants them to be in relationship. And look at me, folks. He wants you to be in relationship with Him too. And so He got somebody to ask you to come to the church. He laid it on Brother Bill's heart, a name to write down. He calls Brother John to stop in the highway and back up and turn down a gravel road. He calls me to be challenged to flip my calendar open and say, I ain't got no excuse, God. I guess I'll pick the rod up. So can I ask you tonight? It's real plain simple, and I can't define it for you. I don't know what God wants to tell you from the burning bush, but here's what I know. He's got the burning bush, and it's holy, and He wants to encounter you, and you need to encounter Him. If you're here and you're lost, look at me. You need to encounter Him. Is it scary? Yes. Is it holy? Yes. Is it real? Yes. Will He give you instruction after you come to Him? Yes. Will it be what you're expecting? No, but is it good? Praise God. But He's not going to drag you up the mountain. As a believer, look at me. You come over and over again. We moved around because sometimes you got to get a different view. And you got to be shook up just a little bit. And God's got to get liberty, get your attention. And over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, He's saying, over here, over here, over here, over here. And you're going, whoo. So can I ask you, sir, ma'am, will it make sense to everybody else? No. Will it be comfortable for everybody else? No. So the question is, what's God speaking to your heart? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody moving around, nobody talking. The musicians come. I could give several things that I could speculate on. But God and Moses had the conversation. It's personal. In recent days, in recent moments, in recent times, what's God been speaking to your heart? And the real reality, the real deal is it's a crisis right now. Listen to me. Every time we come for invitation, there's a crisis. Do we believe that God is wanting me to respond? And the only way to experience what He wants done is for us to adjust. That means in a worship service, you come to the altar. That means you confess. That means you lay it down. That means you do what He says to do, and you will experience it. And then you can tell everybody else that you've experienced it. That's how salvation works. If you're here tonight listening, and you come into church and you're dead, dry bones, you're frustrated, you're angry, and the reality is you've never experienced the power of God in that fashion that God called to you. And He said, I want you over here. And it was a holy moment where you were unable to approach that other than with fear and trembling. You're lost. And the reality is, the whole reason for it, sir, ma'am, He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. Don't run from it. If you're here tonight and you recognize He wants a relationship with you, would you slip your hand up? Time in your life that you need to recognize God's calling me to a relationship with Him and I need to respond. Others of you in this building, listen to me. You're a believer. You experienced it. But you're running from what God wants you to do today. Today, would you respond to His voice, not my voice, not the church, but respond to Him. Father, I pray that You'd use this time for Your honor and glory. That God, You've already spoken. There are folks in the building that are lost. God, would we just let it all go and let You? Maybe there's somebody, God, in the building who needs to express what God's doing in their life. Maybe we need to reminisce and thank You tonight. Thank You, God, and tell the people what God's doing. But would You give us liberty to respond in this place? In Jesus' name, amen. Stand all over the building as He begins to pray. Listen, don't wait. When He talked to him, He came. If God's at work in your life, You come right now. Right now. Don't wait on somebody else. Don't wait on another person. God spoke to Moses, not your neighbor. Not your family member. What's God asking you to do? Come to this altar and deal with it right now. Anybody? In a moment of confession, has there been time in your life when you have experienced in some fashion that holy moment, that unusual time, that unusual presence of God, and there's no doubt in your heart and mind, no doubt in your mind, you've had an encounter with God? Maybe you just need to come to this altar and worship Him tonight. Maybe you just need to be ready to share your story and go do what God asked you to do. Some of you need to pick up the rod. He's told you, go do something particular. It's uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. It hadn't been done before. Come to this altar and say, God, I'm ready. He said, what do you want me to do? I just want you to go tell them I am sent you. He said, okay, I'm in. Would you come? Would you come right now?
Clean.